closer look at the local election results, and Skagway loses a large and in-charge member of its community. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Skagway had 30% voter turnout with just over 300 ballot casts Tuesday, and those voters chose current Assemblyman Mark Schaefer as their new mayor in that uncontested race. Schaefer received 70% of the vote to take over for Stan Selmer, who chose not to run again. There were two assembly seats open when outgoing members Paul Reichert and Mike Korsmo chose not to run for re-election. Former Assemblyman Tim Cochran returns to the table after a two-year hiatus after receiving 62% of the vote. Spencer Morgan takes the other seat with 56% of the vote. The other candidates, Duppy Takaro and Tyler Rose, netted 44 and 29% of the votes, respectively. Darren Belisle retains his school board seat with 81% of the vote in that uncontested race. There are about 47 absentee or question ballots left to be counted at the Thursday canvass in front of the assembly. For complete results and breakdown of votes, you can visit skagway.org. Three writing campaigns slowed the ballot counting in the Haynesboro election on Tuesday, and some residents are expressing concerns over the voting process at the polls. When results did come in just after midnight, it was clear Haynes voters do not support so-called corporate personhood. Proposition 1 passed by a margin of 130 votes. That means the Haynesboro Charter Preamble and Bill of Rights will be amended to say the rights in the charter do not apply to artificial entities like corporations. The effort to put the question on the ballot was spearheaded by the Haynes We the People group. Following in the footsteps of more than 100 local governments across the country, the group advocated for a statement of belief from local residents that would oppose the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Citizens United case, which afforded First Amendment rights to corporations. The group collected enough signatures in 2 days to get the question on the ballot, but about 2 weeks ago, the issue became more controversial. Chilkoot Indian Association tribal leadership spoke out against the proposition, saying it could threaten the rights of tribes and native corporations. The Greater Haynes Chamber of Commerce also expressed its opposition. The majority of its board of directors said the charter amendment could open the borough up to being a test case. Despite the campaigns, proposition sponsor Gershon Cohen said he was pleased the community supported speaking out against corporations as people.
The We the People group has been asserting all along that the support for this issue of constitutional rights for individual people has not only been well received here in Haynes, but it is a big issue statewide and across the country, and this vote last night certainly proved that.
Two new faces were elected to the Haynesboro Assembly. George Campbell received 66% of the votes to be a clear winner for one of the seats. Writing candidates Diana Lapham and Mario Bonassi are only 46 votes apart, with Lapham leading for the second seat. There are still, at most, 49 absentee and question ballots to be counted during the election canvass with the Assembly on October 8th. It's mathematically possible those could affect the Bonassi and Lapham outcome, but not likely. Also, Rob Miller, who withdrew from the race after the deadline to have his name removed from the ballot, received 276, or 32% of the vote. The absentee ballots will decide one of the three open seats for the Haynesboro School Board. Incumbent Sarah Swinton was re-elected with 70% of the vote, and Lisa Schwartz will be a new member on the board after netting 65% of the vote. As the top vote-getters, Swinton and Schwartz will hold three-year seats. The winner of the third seat for a two-year term is too close to call. Scott Dottridge is only 4 votes ahead of incumbent Artie Miller for that seat. Write-in candidate Kim Larson received 43% of the vote. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the story, there are some concerns among some voters about the process at the polls. This was the first election that voters chose from a slate of candidates instead of choosing between candidates for a specific seat. What ended up happening is some voters did not vote for all the candidates they could. For example, the ballot instructs voters to vote for 3 candidates for school board. If a voter only chose 2, then when they tried to insert their ballot in the counting machine, it wouldn't accept it. Voting machines are calibrated by the State Division of Elections. State Elections Director Gail Finumiai said in an email Tuesday evening that local governments decide how to calibrate their machines to deal with undervoted ballots. Haynes Borough Clerk Julie Causey said the borough has always asked the state to program the machines to not accept undervoted ballots for local elections. In those cases, a poll worker is supposed to tell the voter their ballot was rejected for not being filled out completely. They are then supposed to tell the voter they can either fully vote the ballot or keep the ballot as it is, and the poll worker will override the machine. Those instructions are also posted in the voting booth, Causey said. Causey says she thinks that process is beneficial to help some voters who may not realize they undervoted their ballot. However, she said at Tuesday's elections, poll workers told her there were many voters, although she didn't have a specific number, of voters who undervoted a ballot and then returned to the booth to complete their ballot when it was pointed out to them. She said she is going to investigate with the state and other borough clerks around the state if the Haynes Borough should consider accepting undervoted ballots on the first pass. Still, some voters expressed concern at the process. Dana Hallett said he was confused by the process when he was told he undervoted his ballot, which he did on purpose because he didn't support as many candidates as there were seats open for an office. He would like the borough to examine if the election should even be valid. Short of that, he said he would consider filing a challenge to the election.
I think it's important that, you know, that the community has an awareness of these concerns, for sure. Yeah, I made an intentional choice. My best guess on how the votes were to be counted and the prevailing candidate determined, my best guess was that, you know, thinking about the arithmetic again, you know, was that my preferred candidate would have a better chance if I didn't dilute his vote with another vote.
A challenge requires a candidate or 10 qualified voters who voted in the election to file a notice of contest by the day before the certification of the election, which is scheduled for October 22nd. There were no results on numbers or percentages of voter turnout Wednesday. Causey said she was still awaiting those numbers from the Haynes Highway Precinct.
A Haynes man announced his intention to run for governor this week as a candidate for the Alaska Constitution Party. J.R. Myers filed a letter of intent on Monday with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. He publicly announced his intention on the party's Facebook page and in a video posted on YouTube.
A simple flag of the last front.
Myers is the chairman of the Alaska Constitution Party. Formed in 2010, it's a political group, but not an officially recognized political party in the state. Myers said his run for governor is a step towards changing that.
First of all, I'm trying to build up the Alaska Constitution Party, and so in order to evolve from a political group to a political party, we have to get at least 3% of the vote in the race for governor in 2014 to get our political party status to pave the way for our candidates in 2016.
To get his name on the ballot, Meyer will have to collect about 3,000 signatures before next August. He touts the Alaska Constitutional Party as an alternative to the Republican Party. He hopes his candidacy, while unlikely to put him in the governor's office, will bring more discussion about the principles of the constitutional rights and law.
It's a positive exercise in civic involvement, and if nothing else, it will give people opportunities to choose from. And I think that I will influence the public debate, and that there are certain issues that will be addressed that might otherwise not have been addressed, as, at least as forcefully.
Meyer joins a handful of gubernatorial candidates who have also filed intent letters to run in 2014, including Bill Walker, Byron Mallott, Hollis French, and incumbent Governor Sean Parnell.
Skagway recently lost a stalwart member of its community when Boyd Worley passed away last week from a heart attack. Worley and his family have lived in Skagway since the 70s when he arrived to work at the border station. He went on to become the port director and retired 2 years ago. But retirement didn't keep him from being an active member of the community. Worley volunteered his time in many areas of the town, including with youth sports through the school. Skagway School Superintendent Josh Coffran said Worley was involved in the intramural program at the school since the 70s, keeping scores at games, encouraging kids, and penning the weekly Weedle, a breakdown of scores and game highlights.
It was so cool. It was one of the things kids, just you could see their eyes light up when they realized that their name got in the Weedle, and there was a big write-up about the game that they had played in. And it was just fantastic to see. But that was the kind of guy that Boyd was. He was always supportive, always encouraging, and just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Worley was also a fixture at the Skagway News, where his name appears in the paper's list of staff and contributors as the copy checker, Boyd Worley, LIC. That stands for large and in charge, says editor and publisher Jeff Brady, a name his stature garnered him while working at the border station, and it stuck.
He was 6'5 and 300 plus pounds. Yeah, big man. Big man, big heart.
Worley also volunteered his time in public service, having served on the assembly and on school board. He also hosted the Skagway studio for KHNS in a Quonset hut on his property for several years. Brady said Worley loved being around the newspaper and stayed involved by writing letters to the editor and newspapers throughout the region, slipping news tips to newspaper staff, and bringing the staff treats on deadline.
He'd like bring little gifts to Katie and me, and usually it was food that everything from a Twinkie to some kind of incredible, delicious thing that Gene would have made for us.
Worley is survived by his wife, Gene, and four children, Kevin, Scott, Stephanie, and Joanne, and several grandchildren. A service is scheduled for Saturday, October 5th at 2 p.m. at the Skagway School. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.